right, we're beginning here on the top of Fufiyot Bet. I'm an Aleph with the Gemara. Bishlama, we understand in the Mishnah when it says, Bechutz, because of Natan Bifnim, Shekulo Ra'oi Liot Bifnim. So that if he does it first, Bechutz, and then he brings it in and does it internally, that all of it was Ra'oi Liot Bifnim. So that makes sense that you're going to be Chayav for that which you did outside. And then whatever you do Bifnim, you're going to be Yotze with, because the entirety of the Dam was Kasher to be brought Bifnim. Aval Bifnim, Ve'alan Bechutz, in the case where you do it first, internally, you do it in the Mikdash, and then you take the residual dam, velan bachutz, and do it outside, shiraim ninhu. That's the residual dam, that's shiarei adam. So why should you be chayav for that, with the shiarei adam? And as we noted yesterday in the Mishnah, hamani, that's because it's authored by Rabbi Nechemiah. Damar shiarei adam, shikvivan bachutz, chayav. Nechemiah says that when you do the shiarei adam is me'akev, and since the shiarei adam is me'akev, when you do it bachutz, you're going to be chayav. So even though, yes, you did already bifnim, and the dam that's left in the coast now is Shearei Adam, nevertheless, it's going to be a problem because according to Rabbi Nechemiah, Shearei Adam are me'akev, and therefore, when you do it bachutz, you're going to be chayav for it. Tosfot does point out that there is an alternate solution here that the Gemara could have brought, and that deals with the matnot dam of a chatat. We know that when it comes to a chatat, there is a requirement of four matnot dam on each of the corners of the Mizbeach, and we learned earlier in Masechta that only Matana Achat Mehem is Me'akevet with regards to Chatot HaChitzonot. Despite that fact, the Baal HaTos would say, even if you've done the first Matan Dam of the Chatat Bifnim, the residual three Matanot Dam, if you do the Machutz, you're going to be Chayav for them. Because even though, technically, they're not Me'akev the Kapara, but nevertheless, they are part and parcel of the Avoda and the Ikar Zrikat Adam and Kaparat HaKurban. And therefore, he says over here, the Gemara doesn't use that answer because the latter part of the Mishnah seems to be talking about residuals and leftover dam, and therefore it wants to explain the ratio of the Mishnah in a similar fashion. But technically you could have come up with that solution or a situation which you did matan dam bifnim, and the remaining matnot dam bachutz would still make you chayav, even though they were technically leftovers or not part of the korban that was me'akev. But because of the language and the structure of the Mishnah, he thinks that the Gemara doesn't bring that as a solution here, because it doesn't fit the wording so well. So, Rabbi Nechemiah, if the Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Nechemiah or subscribes to this position, Rabbi Nechemiah, Ema Seifa, what are you going to do with the second half of the Mishnah? Kibel dama b'shnei kosot. A situation where it wasn't one kos, but it was in two kosot. Natan shnehem bifnim. He did both of them internally, patur. And that's obvious, that if he did both of them internally, he's patur, because there's nothing for him to be chayav for. Again, later on in the Mishnah, it speaks about a din that's relevant to this, but the first part of the Mishnah, this is just thrown in to get all the different permutations. Shnehem bachutz, chayav. If he does both of them outside, he is chayav, because both of them are ru'uyim to do the dam bifnim. So when you do them bachutz, you're going to be chayav. Echad bifnim ve'echad bachutz, patur. If you do one bifnim, one cup bifnim, and one cup bachutz, you are patur. V'hama Rabbi Nechemiah shere'i adam shikrivan bachutz chayav. Wait a minute. If you think that Rabbi Nechemiah is the author of this Mishnah, or his position is subscribed to by this Mishnah, then he does the first cup bifnim, then the second cup becomes shere'i adam. And if it's shere'i adam, if you do bachutz, you should be chayav. So that's inconsistent with the position of Rabbi Nechemiah. So if Rabbi Nechemiah is the author of the Reisha, what happens here in the Seifa? So Gemara answers, Seifa atan the Tanakama, the Rabbi Lezer, the Rabbi Shimon. The Seifa does not follow Rabbi Nechemiah, but rather it follows the Tanakama of Rabbi Lezer, the Rabbi Shimon. Damar, kos osed dichui lechaveiro. Because one kos causes the other kos to be disqualified. This goes back to a machloket that we discussed earlier in the Masechta, and we've mentioned before with regards to if you take four cups that you were mekabel the dam of a chatat in. If you take those four cups, and then you do the matnot dam from one of those cups, then the remaining cups, what's their status? So if you do a matan dam from each of the cups, for instance, in the case of a chatat, we require four matnot dam, and you do one matanat dam from each of the cups, it's clear that the residual dam in each of the cups is going to be called shere'a dam. The question is, when you have four cups, and you took one of those cups and did all four of the matnot dam for the chatat there, what is the status of the dam in the other three cups which you did nothing with? The one that you did the matnot dam from, obviously the remaining blood in there is shere'i adam. Question is, what's the status of the other three cups? According to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, even if you do a matan dam from that single cup, the other three cups become shere'i adam. The Tanakama over there disagrees. I mean, that's the Tanakhama Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon disagrees with Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon. And he says that if you do Matan Dam from a single cup, only that cup becomes Sheri Adam. The other cups are Dichuyin, they are pushed out, and you spill them into the Yama. You spill them into the sewer line in the Azara, and you do not put them onto the Yisov there, do not attain the status of Sheri Adam. So the way that we have the Girsu in the Gemara that I just read, then the latter half of the Mishnah is not subscribing to Rabbi Nechemya, rather subscribing to the Tanakhama of Rabbi Shimon, who says that when you do Matnot Dam from a single kos, the remaining kosot are disqualified. And that's what happened here. Since you did one of the kosot bifnim, the other kosot becomes disqualified, they're duchuyin, and therefore if you do that second cup of chutz, you're not going to be chayav, because it's not classified as Sheri Adam. And the way our Gemara reads, it sounds like Rabbi Nechemya would argue on that, and he would disagree with that. In essence, he would probably agree with Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. That's the Girsa that we just read. But if you look in the Masorah Tashas on the side, he brings an alternate Girsa, which is actually the Girsa that's found in Rashi. You can look at the top Rashi on the Amud. It says, Man Tana de Palig Alei de Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. Who is the Tana that argues on Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon? And then the next Divrei Matchil in Rashi is Rabbi Nechemyahi. It is Rabbi Nechemya. And you can see now in the Girsa, the Masorah Tashas, he says, Nusach Achrina. That's the Girsa of Rashi. And that indicates that our mission over here now tells us something about Rabbi Nechemya. First of all, we know that Rabbi Nechemya thinks that Sheri Adam are me'akev, and therefore if you do them b'chutz, you're going to be chayav. The second half of the Mishnah teaches us that Rabbi Nechemya believes if you do the matnot dam from a single kos, the remaining three kosot become dichuyin. Or in our case, you have two kosot in the Mishnah. If you do the matnot dam with one of them, the other one becomes dichuy. It's no longer valid. And that's why if you do b'chutz, you're patur. But that means that he argues on the position of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon. And that's what the Gemara is saying, in essence, according to that Girsa Rashi. Man Tana de Palig Alei de Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. Who is the Tana that argues on Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon says, if you do matnot dam from a single cup, the other cups all become Sheri Adam. So who's the one who argues on Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon? The answer is Rabbi Nechemya. Because Rabbi Nechemya is the author of our Mishnah, or the Mishnah is following that position of Rabbi Nechemya. And despite the fact that it's following Rabbi Nechemya's position, in the Seif of the Mishnah, it says that it's not classified as Sheri Adam. So that would only be true if you argue on Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. And that's what the Gemara's conclusion is according to Rashi, that Rabbi Nechemya argues on that principle of Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. And therefore, in that latter part of the Mishnah here, even according to Rabbi Nechemya, you are patur if you put the second kos b'chutz after you've done the first kos bifnim, because the first kos renders the second kos dichui. Okay, now the Gemara continues with the latter half of the Mishnah, which is the Ma Hadavar Dome. This case of two kosot, what is it similar to? The Mafrish Chatato Va'abda, case where he was Mafrish a Chatat that he had to bring for whatever violation. The Frish Acheret Tachta, after it got lost, he was Mafrish a second Chatat to replace it. V'achar Kach Nimtzeit Rishona. And then we find the first one. The Gemara asks, Lama Hadavar Dome Lomali. Why do you bring this parable, this mashal, in the Mishnah? So it's interesting, it's stylistically what the Bavli does all the time when it looks at a Mishnah. Very often when the Mishnah says, Zaklau, this is the principle, or this is the general principle, the Gemara will ask, Zaklau latuyemai, what does that come to include? Now you could have simply read the Zaklau in the Mishnah as a summary statement of that which took place in the Mishnah. It's trying to give you guidelines, it's trying to give you a bird's eye view of what's happening, so it tells you Zaklau. But the Bavli does not accept that. The Bavli says, if the Mishnah wrote Zaklau, it must be teaching you something beyond what's already found in the Mishnah. Because you could have inferred from the Mishnah the Zaklau. If it spells out the Zaklau, it must be Latuyamai, it must become to including something. And similarly over here, you can't just say that the Mishnah is saying Lama Davar Domeh. It's coming to make it easier for you to understand, because it's comparing it to another case. But rather the Bavli says, if the Mishnah says Lama Davar Domeh, it must be teaching you something you wouldn't have otherwise known. And that is Hamani. The author of that part of the Mishnah, or the attribution of that part of the Mishnah, must be Terabihi. Damar, Avuda, Bishat Hafrasha, Meta. Because the one who gets lost at the Sha'at Hafrasha, that renders the other one, or the one that's not used, to be a Chatat Shekipru Baleha, and therefore it is subject to death, which is Chatot Hametot. It's one of the Chatot Hametot, which is a Chatat Shekipru Baleha. And that's because Rabbi, as opposed to the Chachamim, believes that if the chatat is avuda, lost the time that you're mafrish the other chatat, that still relegates the chatat that you don't use, lemita. On the other hand, the chachamim believe that only if it's avuda at the time that you're makriv the chatat, is the second chatat then subject to mitah? But if you've already found the other chatat, and then when you go to be makriv the chatot, both of them are in front of you, and you pick one as the chatat, and the other chatat is not the mitah, but rather is then sent out to pasture, ro'eh ad shi'istaev. And that's why we're focused that it's on Rabbi, because Rabbi is the one who says that avudah b'shat hafrasha, which is the description of the case in our Mishnah, is something that renders the other chatat to be the mitah. And that's what is described in the Mishnah, that the second chatat you're not chayav for hachala b'chutz, because it is subject to mitah, and not ro'ui the mizbeach. V'hachi ka'amar. And that's what's being explained here. By Tosafot note from the Gemara in Temura, that it's interesting that the Gemara here says that it's Rabbi, who's the author of this position, but there are many different Amoraim that try to establish what the exact machloket is between Rabbi and the Chachamim there, and in some of the explanations, even the Chachamim agreed to this position. So the Bayit Tosfot say it's not clear why it has to be Rabbi, although it seems that in all the cases it would be true for Rabbi, or according to all the Amoraim it would be true for Rabbi. That's why they picked to put it in the name of Rabbi. But just know that, first of all, there are alternate ways to explain the machloket there, which would not have Rabbi have this position, or that also would have the Chachamim have this position. That is Vachi Kamar. Taima de Avda. The reason here it is because it got lost. Ha, ifrish shtei chatot achrayut. On the other hand, if up front you were mafrish two chatot, you wanted to be on the safe side, you were afraid one of them might get lost. So you were mafrish two chatot. One for the primary korban and another one to back you up and to be achrayut. Chadaminayu mi'ikara olahi. One of them up front automatically is designated to be an olah. Similar to what we heard from Rav Huna Marav, Dam Rav Huna Marav, Asham shenitak diriya, an Asham that is somehow disqualified. It is similar to the Chamesh Chataot HaMetot. If that happens to an Asham, we have a Mesorah that it's nitak diriya, that it's sent out to graze, and then you sell it with the proceeds, you bring a Korban Ola. Rav Yehuda Marav, which we saw earlier in the Masechta on Daf Hei Amud Bet, told us, Asham shenitak diriya, an Asham that's designated to be put out to graze, then v'shachatostam, then you go and shech that animal without having anything in mind, kasher le'ola. It automatically has a status of an ola. So what they're saying over here is just like by the Asham shenitak diriya, when you shech it stam without any forethought as to why you're shechting it, or without any kavanah as to why you're shechting it, it automatically attains a shame ola. Because, it seems, and we'll see this in a second, that is the ultimate destiny of this animal. So what the Gemara is saying is, then that should be similar to our case over here, by the two chataot, that you're mafrish l'achrayut. Because you know up front that you're not going to bring both chataot. So you know that one of these chataot is not going to go on the mizbeach, and therefore you, in a sense, have separated them out l'achrayut, and that second one, whichever one you don't use, then will be taken away from being a chatat and turned into an olah. Similar to the Asham, that's not useful, that when it's not useful, it's turned into an Ola. So same thing over here. The Chatat over here, if it's not useful, will be turned into an Ola. Since it would be an Ola, then if you're Makrivi Bachutz, you're going to be Chayav. Because both are Korbanot Ru'im Bifnim. One of them is going to be a Chatat, one of them is going to be an Ola. You just don't know which one, because you're Mafrish Shtayim LeAchrayut. But given that you're doing Shtayim LeAchrayut, means that one of them, by definition, is going to be an Ola. So the Gemara wants to compare that to the case of Asham shenitak diriya. Gemara says, midomi. The cases are not compatible. Hatam Asham zachar, and Asham is a male animal. Ve'olah zachar, and an olah is also a male animal. So by definition, the animal that you used for the Asham can become an olah, because it is a zachar, and then it is a zachar. You don't have to sell it and get the proceeds, and then buy an olah. It itself could be an olah because it is a zachar. Above chatat, nekeva. By chatat, that doesn't work. Because a chatat is a nekeva, is a female animal. And if that's the case, you can't just say automatically that chatat that you don't use for the kapara will then automatically become an olah. It can't become an olah. Olah only comes from zacharim, it doesn't come from nekevot. So it's not automatically become an olah. And therefore the cases are differentiated. Amrav chia miyustinaya. So Rav Mishnah says, "Bisa'ir nasi." There is a case where a chatat is brought from a male, and that is when it's the nasi that was chuteh. Instead of bringing the standard chatat, he brings a sa'ir, and the sa'ir is a male animal. So that could be the scenario in which you have a chatat where he was mafrish l'achrayut, and then if he uses one of the two for his korban nasi, zachar. The other one would automatically become an olah. And that would be the scenario where we say that automatic turning of it into an olah makes that they're both ru'im lifnim. And therefore, if you're makriv shteim bachutz, you're going to chayav for each one of them. Or even if you do the first one bifnim for the chatat, the second one, if you do a bachutz, you're going to be chayav because it's not a chatat that is kipru ba'aleha, but rather it's a chatat that up front was intentionally separated to back up the other chatat. And given that, when you already are makriv the first chatat and contain kapara, that backup chatat will then turn into an ola. And since it'll turn into an ola, you're going to be chayav bachutz if you're makriv bachutz. And the scenario where that's going to be true is by Seir Nasi, where the Korban Chatat is also a male, so it can be converted into a Ola. Because if it's not a male, and it's a Chatat Nekeva, then you would sell it, and the proceeds then would buy an Ola. But it itself would not be an Ola. In the Havamina, we're thinking that it would be an Ola. Even though the Chatchila, its value was used for an Ola, nevertheless, when you're Makrim Bachut, you'd be a Chayav. That's the Havamina of the Gemara. The Gemara rejects that. It says the case is that those Korbanot are differentiated. It's different between a chatat and an asham. Now, with regards to an asham, Rashi over here makes the point, v'dafka nitak. That's only true when it was nitak l'ri'iyah. Because they're quoting the pasuk, which says that asham, asham hu, behaviyato yehei. That the asham remains, and the way Rashi reads this back in Daf Heim with Bed is, it always remains an asham until it's nitak l'ri'iyah. Until it's sent out to graze, or there's an halachic imperative that it go out to graze. If that happens, then it changes. Nitak. It was removed. The shame asham was removed from it. And then it becomes an olah by definition. And that's why if you shecht it stam, it's going to be an olah. Because of the nitak. Because there was some activity that took it away from being an asham and converted it into an olah. That's the way Rashi explains it over here. And that's the way Rashi explained it back on Heil Mut Bet. Over there, Tosafot brings the Rabbeinu Tam, who argues on Rashi's view of nitak d'riya. And he says that Asham, Asham, who, Bahaviyato Yehei, that will remain, is not Bahaviyato Yehei that the Asham remains an Asham, rather Bahaviyato Yehei, the animal becomes an Ola. It automatically becomes an Ola because its end game is an Ola. And the Rabbeinu Tam believes that Nitak D'Riyah is not a Din D'Oraita, it's a Din D'Rabbanon. The Rabbanon required that it be Nitak D'Riyah, and that it grazes and gets a mom, and then you sell it, but Midoraita, the animal itself would become an Ola. And since its end game is to be an Ola, then when you shecht it, stam, it will be an Ola. And that's based on the pasuk that says, Bahaviyato Yehei. Whatever it is, it will be. Or the other way around, for the Rabbeinu Tam, whatever it will be, it is already. And that's a permanent state for this animal. That's why if you shecht it, stam, it will become an Ola. So for the Rabbeinu Tam over here, you don't need anything to be done in order for it to be an Ola. Just when you shecht it, it'll become an Ola automatically. For Rashi, you need at least nituk, the Riyah, because he believes Nituk D'Riyah is Doraita, or at least Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, and therefore without that, you can't convert it from an Asham to an Ola. Whereas with Rabbeinu Tam, it's automatically converted, and it automatically becomes an Ola, and the Nituk D'Riyah is only an imposition Midrabanan, but Midoraita, it's already an Ola, and that's why in Yishecht Etztam, it will be classified as an Ola. The Chatat, again, up front, we thought in the Havamina, it would be similar to that case, and even though it should be sold, but nevertheless, if you do makriv bachutz, it's going to be chayav because it has a shame ola associated with it. Just like the asham has a shame ola associated with it. The Gemara says, no, you have to differentiate the cases. An asham, it itself can turn into a korban ola because it's a zachar. A chatat does not have that because it's an ekeva. It can't automatically turn into an ola. Alright, so that we end the 13th parak in Tzvachim, Adon Alach, Ashochet, V'amaleh. Now we begin the last parak of the Masechta. And like in some places in Shas, instead of breaking the Mishnah up into parts, like it did in the previous parak here in the 13th parak, and then the Gemara comments along the Mishnah, here in the 14th parak, it brings, at the beginning of the parak, the entire Mishnayot for the parak, and then only afterwards does the Gemara begin. So the remainder of today's daf is going to be all the Mishnayot of the 14th parak. Parat chatat she'sarfa chutz migita. So a parat chatat, which is the parat duma, which is supposed to be done on Har HaMishkan, Har HaZeitim. So if you process it outside of the pit in which it's supposed to be burnt, v'chein se'ir mishtaleach, and similarly the se'ir la'azazel on Yom HaKippurim, shikri b'chutz, that you were makrive b'chutz, patur. Both of those are patur, shenemar, as the pasuk says, v'et petach omoed lo heviyo, that he didn't bring it to the petach omoed. Kol she'in ra'uy lavo petach omoed, anything that is not ra'uy to be brought internally in the mikdash as a kosher korban, ain't chayvanin alav bachutz. You're not going to be chayav for that bachutz. The Seir Mishtalech does not get brought inside the Azara. Its whole Avodah is outside of the Azara. It's taken to the Har and pushed off the Har. It's the Seir Lazazel. If that's the case, you're not going to be Chayav, Prakrava, Bachutz, because it's not something that would have been brought El Petach Ol Moed. And similarly with the Paradumah. Paradumah is processed in Har HaZeitim. In the Gita, that may be its location, but it's not a location that's Betoch Ol Moed, or it's not something that's Ra'ur the Petach Ol Moed. Therefore, if you're Makrivei Bachutz, you are going to be Patur. Haroveya, Vanirba. So these are animals with which bestiality was performed. Hamukse, something that was designated for Avodah Zarah, Tigrovet Avodah Zarah. Hanevad, an animal that was worshipped. Vamechir Kelev, it was exchanged for a dog. Ve'etnan Zona, or it was exchanged for the wages of a harlot. Ve'akilayim, or it is a mixed breed. Vatrefa, or there's something wrong with it that makes it into a trefa. Ve'yotze Dolphin, or it was not born a natural birth, but rather through a cesarean section. Shikrivan bachutz. If you're makriv any of these animals, even if they are kedushim bachutz, patur. There you are, patur, shenemar, lifnei mishkan Hashem. That it has to be kol, shein ravoi lavo lifnei mishkan Hashem. Anything that's not ravoi to come before mishkan Hashem, ain chayavin alav. There you're not going to be chayav bachutz. The truth is, and the Gemara will ask this, it could have just brought the previous pasuk that we quoted, which is El Petach Moed Lo Evio, that you didn't bring it to Petach Moed. The question is, why do you need a separate pasuk of Lifnei Mishkan Hashem? So that'll be discussed in the Gemara. So now, the meaning of El Mishkan Hashem is, as Rashi notes, is Afupi Shekasher Lavo. So even though it's Kasher to come, El Petach Moed Lo Evio, it is Kasher Lavio, Hoil Ve'ena Kasher Likarev, it's not Kasher to be put on the Mizbeach, so that's what disqualifies it. Now, that disqualification, as we noted before, is connected to the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. The Shita of Rabbi Shimon is that kol shepsulo b'kodesh, anything where the psul happens b'kodesh, whatever we've discussed in the past, that means then that psulo b'kodesh renders the item that even though the chatchila you can't put on the mizbeach, if b'diavad it ended up on the mizbeach, imala lo tereid, it doesn't come off the mizbeach. On the other hand, there's another category of psulim, which are she'en psulo b'kodesh. Those are all the psulim we just enumerated here. These are psulim that either are psulim that are not necessarily connected to the kedusha of the animal. It could happen to any animal. These are problems that take place prior to its entering into the Azara. Or at least they can take place prior to its entering into the Azara. For whatever the explanation is that you give between what is considered to be psulo b'kodesh and what's not considered to be psulo b'kodesh, these are in the category of not psulo b'kodesh. And therefore the din is, according to Rabbi Shimon, imala yereid. Goes up in the Mizbech, it's going to be taken off the Mizbech. And so therefore you're not Chayav Bachutz when you're Makrivet Bachutz, because there's no acceptance of these items Bifnim. There's no acceptance B'Lachatchila, clearly, because they are disqualified. But even B'Diavad, if it ends up on the Mizbech, it's going to come off the Mizbech, there's no acceptance of these in the Azara or in the Mikdash, and therefore you're not going to be Chayav for Ala Bachutz. Balei Mumim, when it comes to Balei Mumim, things that have a blemish in them, Ben Balei Mumim Kvuyim, whether these are permanent blemishes, which are going to qualify them forever, ben balei mumim ovrim, or whether these are temporary blemishes in the animals, which means that they are temporarily suspended from being kosher as korbanot, but they eventually will be able to be brought as korbanot, shikrivan bachutz, if you're makrivan bachutz, you are patur. This follows the principle that we've established until now, which is, if it's not roi lepetach omoed, it's not chayav v'akrava bachutz. Neither of these are roi lepetach omoed, as long as it has a blemish in it, whether it's a permanent blemish, or whether it's a temporary blemish, it's disqualified from being brought as a korban. So if it's disqualified from being brought in the mikdash, it's also not going to be chayav when you're maleh bachutz. But here we have a dissenting opinion, and as Rabbi Shimon Omer, balei mumim kvuim patur, balei mumim ovrim chayav belotase. When it comes to balei mumim kvuim, which are permanent blemishes, he agrees that that is something that is disqualified, it cannot be brought in the mikdash, and therefore if you're maleh bachutz, you're going to be patur. On the other hand, balei mumim ovrim, balei mumim that are temporarily suspended from being used in the mikdash, those, if you're maleh bachutz, you're going to be chayav because of the lo taseh. Now the reason behind Rabbi Shimon's shita, which is going to come up on a recurring basis through all the Mishnayot over here, we're going to see Rabbi Shimon dissenting in a number of these instances, is because Rabbi Shimon believes that if something is what's called mechuser zman, it's simply lacking in a time frame in which it could become kasher, that's not a disqualifying factor in terms of halah b'chutz. We saw this a little bit in yesterday's daf, And again, we're going to see it numerous times here, that the only problem with something with a temporary blemish is that you just need to wait. Eventually, it will be kasher to be brought bifnim. And since it eventually will be kasher to be brought bifnim, therefore, if you're male b'chutz, you are going to be chayav. And that's Rabbi Shimon Shita, that as long as at some point it will become kasher, and the only thing standing between you and that point is time, then that fact that it will eventually become kasher is enough to be classified as problematic when you're male et bachutz. But then there is a lotase, and the Gemara is going to discuss what exactly the lotase is that Rabbi Shimon thinks is applicable over here. Torim shelo yigia zmanam, uvnei yuna shavar zmanan. Remember that with regards to the birds, there are different thresholds in terms of age. Torim have to be brought when they're already old enough to be brought, whereas the bnei yonah can only be brought when they are young. That's why it says bnei yonah, because those are the younger ones. It's only when they're young. And the torim are only once they get older. And the Gemara earlier on told us that the qualification, the way to know is mishiyatz hivu, that once they get yellow, or they grow yellow feathers, that is the threshold by which we know whether they are old enough by the torim, and also how we know if they're too old by the bnei yonah. So then, in both those cases, if you brought them at the wrong time period, which is torim shelo yigia zmanam, they're too young, or bnei yonah shavar zmanam, that are too old, v'yikrivam b'chutz, if you're makrivam them b'chutz, you're patur, because if you brought them bifnim, they would not be accepted. Therefore, when you're makrivam them b'chutz, you are patur. Rabbi Shimon Omer, bnei yonah shavar zmanan patur. I agree with the bnei yonah who have aged out, they're your patur because they have permanently aged out. There'll be no way that they can be qualified again. On the other hand, torim shelo yigia zmanan, in the case where it's torim that have yet to reach the age where you're going to be makridim as a korban, then that's below tasei. The same problem is because all you need to do is wait. Eventually, these torim will age to a point where they are ro'oi the mizbech. So in the future, they will be ro'oi the mizbech. That's enough to make it that if you're male b'chutz now, you're going to be chayav. So this is Rabbi Shimon consistently in his shita, that it is a lotase when all that stands between you and the kashrut of the korban is time. Oto ve'et bino. In a situation where you have an animal and its parent, then we'll spend more time on this when we get to bechorot and in chulin, but oto ve'et bino, you're not allowed to shecht both of them on the same day. So if you shechted one of them as a korban, the second one will be disqualified as a korban on that day. If that's the case, then the second one, after you've shechted the parent or the child, or the other one now is restricted from being shechted on that day, that other one, if you're makrib b'chutz, you're going to be patur, because it's not roi bifnim. Rabbi Shimon, again, is going to disagree with that, because Rabbi Shimon's going to say, you just have to wait. Tomorrow, it will be kasher. So since all you have to do is wait, it's only mechuser zman, if you're makrib b'chutz, you're going to be chayav. Oh, mechuser zman, or something that's missing the time that it needs, you are patur according to the Tanakama. And mechuser zman, the Gemara will explain in 1 second, but mechuser zman can manifest in 2 ways. Mechuser zman can manifest itself in the animal of the korban, which is sometimes a korban has to be at least 8 days old before it can be brought on the mizbeach. An animal less than 8 days can't be put on the mizbeach. If it's younger than that age, it's mechuser zman. Mechuser zman can also be like the case here, b'oto ve'et b'no, a case where it's missing time because it just needs to wait. If you wait a little longer, it will be kasher. So according to the Tanakhama, these are all p'turim because they're not roi the petach omei. Rabbi Shimon Omer, harizeh b'lo tase. Once again, Rabbi Shimon says, b'lo tase, seg she Rabbi Shimon Omer. Koshu ra'oi levola achar zman, and here's the principle that Rabbi Shimon is laying out for us for all the reasons for his opinions until now, which is that anything that is going to be ra'oi to come into the petach omeid achar zman, harizeh lo b'lo tase. That has a lo tase, ve'ein bo karet. But it's not subject to the karet. So we have to explain that. It's not subject to the regular halah b'chutz, which is a chayuv karet, but it still has a lo tase associated with it, because it will be ra'oi after a point in time. That makes it that when you male b'chutz, you're going to be chayav for a lotase. Rechamim omrim, koshein bo karet, in bo lotase. Chamim say the two are correlated. It's not chayav karet, it's also not chayav in a lotase. And the two are connected. And the chamim believe that if it's mechuser zman, that is a disqualifying factor. And so you're not going to be chayav karet, and you're also not going to be chayav a lotase. Now, mechuser zman, ben begufo, ben bebalav. This is what we noted before, that mechuser zman can be manifested 2 ways. Can be manifest in the animal itself being mechuser zman. And then there's the alternative mechuser zman, which is b'ba'alav. The owner is mechuser zman. And that is because sometimes a person is not yet qualified to bring their korban. And the Mishnah brings examples. Hazav, v'azava, v'yoledet, v'hamitzora. So Rashi takes Hamitzora out of the Gemara. You can see that he says, Lo Gasina Mitzora. And that is because the Gemara later on brings Tanaim that say that Mitzora is a part of this group, and therefore they entered it into the Mishnah based on those Tanaim. But it doesn't mean that it should be in the Mishnah, and therefore Rashi takes out the word Mitzora over here. But all of these individuals have a period of time in which they wait to become Tahor. So a Mitzora has to wait 7 days to become Tahor, and then on the 8th day he brings his Korbanot. A Zav and a Zava, same thing. They have 7 days of Tum'ah, and then they become Kashirim at a certain point to bring their Korban. Hayoledet has a period of time, whether it's 40 days or 80 days, that she is not able to bring Korbanot, and then on the 41st or the 81st day she has to bring a Korban. So that means that there is a time in which they become qualified to bring these Korbanot, the Korbanot associated with whatever it is here, whether it is a Zav, a Zava, a Yoledet, or a Mitzora, or a Nazir. Mitzora, according to Rashi, is not mentioned, and Nazir is not mentioned here as well. But all of those individuals are supposed to bring Korbanot, the determination of whatever it is. But there's a point in time where they are waiting to bring it, and it'll be prior to the Zman. So that's what it means, Mechusar Zman Biba'alav. That's a description or an example of that. Sheikrivu Chatatam V'Hashamam Bachutz. If they're Makriv, they're Chatat or Hasham that they're supposed to bring Bachutz, Piturim. They are patur. Their chatat and their sham is before the time period where you are qualified to bring it. You have yet to wait the requisite 7 days to be chayav to bring it. If that's the case, if you're makriv, the chatat and hasham b'chutz, you're not going to be chayav because it's not roi bifnim. On the other hand, olotehem v'shamehem, the olot and the shlamim that are brought along with them, b'chutz, if they are put out b'chutz, chayavin. You are chayav. Now Rashi claims the reason that you are chayav is because olotayim v'shamayim can be brought as a korban nidava. So even though you are prior to the threshold time which will make you chayav to bring these korbanot, you could still bring the olah v'shamayim as a voluntary offering. And since you can bring it as a voluntary offering bifnim, when you do it b'chutz, you're going to be chayav. The asham and the chatat, that's not true. The asham and the chatat can only be brought if there is a reason, if there is a necessity. And so over here, you're prior to the time where you're going to be qualified. And so that makes it unnecessary. If you bring them, they're going to be psulim bifnim. That means if you do machutz, you're not going to be chayav. The way that the Rambam explains the difference between olotehem and shalmehem and chatat and asham is what is the primary korban. The primary korban is the chatat and the asham that provides the kapara in some of these instances or provides the tara. The olot and the shlamim are just accompaniment. They're a gift that comes along with it. They're secondary to it. And therefore, they are not caught up in the aspect of kapara. And that's why if you're makriv them b'chutz, you're chayav, because you can bring them, they're not really correlated or connected to the din of the kapara, or the necessity of this individual to bring the korbanot. They're not the primary part of those korbanot. As Rashi notes over here, and the Gemara will discuss it, there is nobody in this list that brings an asham. Either you have a zav, a zava, and you let it, none of them bring an asham. Now, if Mitzora is in the list, then you could explain asham. Or, if an Azir was possibly in the list, then you could also possibly explain an Asham. The second thing is Shlamim. There's nothing in this list that requires a Shlamim. Not a Zav, not a Zava, not a Yoledet, and not a Mitzora. None of them require a Shlamim. There is a case, which is the Nazir, which does require Shlamim. And maybe that's where the reference of the Shlamim comes to. A Nazir who has to bring at the end of his Nazirut, he has to bring a Olah, Chatat, and Shlamim. Maybe that's the reference over here. So that's maybe the reference over here that the Gemara will discuss. Hamale mibasar chatat, mibasar asham, mibasar kodshe kodashim, mibasar kodshe konim. So if you are makrif, any of these items that don't belong on the mizbech, basar of a chatat, basar of an asham, are eaten by the kohanim, the zichrei kuna, the azara. The basar of the kodshe kodashim, the only thing left, as we noted many times, is the shalmei atzeret. The Shamei Tzibur from the Kifsei Atzeret, Mi Basar Kodshei Kalim, or the Kodshim Kalim, where the Basar is either to the Balim, to the Kohanim, or a mix of both. All of these items, Umutara Omer, and the leftover, the residual of the Omer, Shtei Alechem, that are brought along with the Kifsei Atzeret on Shavuot, Lechem Apanim, that's on the Shulchan every week, Bishere Manachot, and the residuals of Manachot. All of these items are items that are consumed, or should be consumed by the Kohanim. And therefore, if you're makriv them b'chutz, you're not chayav, because they're not things that are mukrav bifnim. They're not things that are supposed to go on the mizbeach bifnim. And so if you're halah b'chutz, you're not going to be chayav for them, because they're not ra'uy, the petach omoy. That's one category of items. Then there is hayotzik, Someone who does yitzika, the pouring of the oil onto a mincha. Vaha potate, or potate titim, someone who crumbles up the mincha of the mafet tanur. Habolel, he's mixing the oil and the ingredients of the mincha. Vamoleach, or he's salting. Vameinif, or he's doing a wave offering. Vamegish, or he's bringing the mincha that needs to touch the corner of the mizbeach. Vamesader tashulchan, someone who sets up the lechem apanim on the shulchan. Ameitivet aneirot, someone who cleans out the deshen from the menorah, or cleans it out and lights the menorah. Vakometz, someone takes off a kamitza from mincha. Vamekabel damim, someone does kabbalat adam. Bachutz, does this outside of the mikdash. In all these cases, you are patur. You're not chayav in any of these cases, because, now there are a number of reasons, one of which we already explained, which is the first series of items, are items that are not ra'ui to go on the mizbeach. Those are items that are eaten, not belonging to the mizbeach. So if you're makrim in the bachutz, you're not going to be chayav. The next list of items are things that you're not chayav bachutz, because it's not an avoda. That is what we call an avoda shlema, tama. It's not an avoda that completes a series of avodot. The only time you're chayav, if you do an avoda bachutz, is if it's an avoda that's the completion of a process, like halah bachutz. So halah bachutz is the completion of a process, therefore you're going to be chayav if it's done bachutz. Shchita, truthfully, should not be chayav bachutz, because shchita is something that is a prerequisite, it is not the final in the stages of avoda. Nevertheless, shchita is chayav, because the pasuk explicitly says, shchita bachutz, you are chayav for it. Based on that, all these avodot, since they have yesh achrehem avodah, they have another avodah that comes after them, they're not classified as an avodah whereby you're going to be held accountable if you do it bachutz. Because they all have something that comes after whatever you've done here, there's another process that must be done. And therefore, for those avodot, you're not chayav if you do them bachutz. So actually, it turns out that in the series here, you have a group of things. The first ones, which a zar is permitted to do, so a zar could do it technically, like the yotzeg, Bolel and Moleach. And so not only in those cases where the Tzar could have done this Avodah Bifnim, is he patur for these Avodot Bachutz, but also, in the second series, these are items that the Chatkila should be done by Kohen, but if the Tzar does it, it's not Pasul. Like, I mean, if, Vamagish, Vamisader Tashulchan, Vamativet Taneirot, all of these things that the Chatkila should be done by Kohen, but if it's done by a Tzar, it's not Pasul. Even in those situations, if you do them Bachutz, you are patur. And then the last series are items, akumets, vamekabel damim, where if a zar does it, it's completely pasul. Even in that situation, if it's done bachutz, you still are patur. All of those situations, you're not chayav for halah bachutz. So it is a lo zu avzu. Even in situations where it be kasher bazar, kasher b'di'evet bazar, pasul bazar, in all those situations, you're still patur from halah bachutz. In addition to the fact that you're not chayav bachutz for these items, you're not chayav. If a zar engages in this, then he's not going to be chayav mita. So again, with the first series of items, the reason is because he's not doing avoda. He's putting on mizbeach items that are not, don't belong on the mizbeach. They're all basar. They should be consumed and eaten. They should not be put on mizbeach. And if a zar puts on mizbeach, there's no violation of zarut because he didn't do anything that was an avoda. Then in the next series of avodot, hayotzek, kaputet, bolel, vamoleach, v'aminif, those are all items that have an avoda that is after them. And since they have an avoda that's after them, the zar does them, he's not going to be chayav, mita, bidei shamayim, because these are not avodot that are the completion or the end of a process. In addition, you're not chayav mishum tuma. Not chayav for tuma, meaning that if they eat it, betumat aguf, you're not going to be chayav for that. And that's because there's a correlation between zarut and tuma that we spent a lot of time on earlier in the Masechta, back on Daf, Tetvav, Tetzayin, Yudzayin. We discussed those correlations. Velo mishum mechuser begadim. And also, you're not going to be chayav for mechuser begadim. A kohen is not wearing his big day kivuna. And that's because of what we said earlier in the Masechta. Bisman shebigdei meleim kunatam meleim. When they're wearing their uniform, then they are kohanim. If they don't wear their uniform, they don't wear the big day kivuna, they're no different than zarim. So therefore, mechuser begadim has the same din as a zar. And if you're not chayav for zarut, you're not going to be chayav for mechuser begadim. Velo mishum michutz yadayim raglayim. Also not for someone who did not wash his hands and feet before he came into these avodot, you will not be chayav, or culpable. In these cases, just like you're not culpable for the zarut, in these cases, that'll be true of a lack of kiddush yadayim raglayim. And that's what that of gzeres shavah that we saw earlier in the Masechta, that compares this to the mechuser begadim Ad shelo hukama mishkan. So until the mishkan went into service, hayu ha-bamot mutarot. The bamot were mutar. You could be makriv and a kurban wherever you wanted and anytime you wanted. Vavudabi bechorot. And the avoda was conducted by the bechorim. Yes, Rashi brings us the example of where bechorim did avoda, which is by Yishlach et Narei Bnei Yisrael. It says there in Shmot Chav Dalet in Mishpatim that the Narei Bnei Yisrael did the avoda, and that's a reference to the bechorim. Umishu kama mishkan, once the mishkan was put into service in the midbar, nesra bamot. Number one, the bamot went asurim, because now you only can bring the mishkan nowhere else. Vavudabi bechoanim. And then the avoda shifted over to the kohanim. That's what we see in Parshat Balotcha, the beginning of Balotcha, right after the consecration of the Mishkan. The Torah tells us that Moshe was instructed to exchange all the Bechorim to Kohanim, to make the Kohanim the new individuals who were going to serve in the Mikdash or serve in the Korbanot. We saw that in the Miluim, that Aaron and Banav were Nitkadesh in the Miluim. And Chazal tell us that that is the result of the Egel, that the Bechorim were the ones doing the service by the Egel, because they were the ones, the Kohanim. And so therefore, when there was service to be done, they did it. And since they participated, and they were the priests of the Egel, they were then disqualified. And the Shevet Levi that did not participate in the Avera of the Egel, they took over, and they became those that were Nitkadesh Bekuna. Kodshei Kodashim, in the case when the Mishkan went into service, the Kodshei Kodashim are Nechlim Lifnim Naklaim. They're eating inside the curtains of the Chatzer. That's the equivalent of being in the Azara and the Mikdash. So it's inside those curtains, that's where you eat kodshei kodashim. Kodshim kalim b'chol machaneh Yisrael. And kodshim kalim are eaten throughout the campment of Klal Yisrael, because the encampment of Klal Yisrael, which is built around the Mishkan, creates a perimeter or a delineation of the Kedushah that spreads from the Mishkan into the machaneh, and anywhere in the machaneh is considered to be kasher for kodshim kalim. Ba'u leGilgal, when Bnei Yisrael entered into Eretz Yisrael, their first stop was in the Gilgal. Then, who drew a bamot? Once again, the bamot became mutarim. Kodshei kodashim nechlim lifnim naklaim. Kodshim kalim were eaten lifnim naklaim because the Mishkan was still there. But the Mishkan did not function like a Mishkan. That's either because you need yeshiva for that to be the case, or you need the Mishkan to come to a permanent resting place in order for it to be defined as something that is a structure which would restrict the ability to do bamot. Or even, according to some, the Mishkan, the Aron, was going around with them during the kibush. That goes to a machloket, which we discussed right in other places, as to how many aronot were there. Was there only one aron? And that means that if they went out to battle with the aron, they took the aron for the mishkan. So the mishkan wasn't really a mishkan because the aron was absent. Or were there two aronot? There was an aron that went out to the milchama, and there was an aron that stayed in the mishkan. If that's the case, then that can't be the explanation of why it's not deemed to be a mishkan. But it might have to do with the fact that during the kibush v'chiluk, it didn't find a permanent place. It moved around, not everybody was there, the people weren't settled. For that reason, there is a Bamat Sibur, or a Bamat Gdola, where the Mishkan is in Gilgal, but it doesn't function like the Mishkan in the period when it reaches Shiloh. So therefore, the Bamot are Mutarim, Kodshei Kodashim Nechlim Nefnim Naklaim, are eaten inside the curtains, wherever the Bamat Sibur is, wherever this Mishkan is sitting in Gilgal. The Kodshim Kalim Bechol Makom. And Kodshim Kalim are eaten anywhere in Eretz Yisrael, because there's no longer a Machaneh Yisrael that delineates the enclosure around the Mishkan. And so therefore you're permitted, wherever you put up a Bama, there you can eat the Kodoshim. As Rashi notes over here, the word Maaser Sheni is absent. It's only Kodshim Kalim and not Shmaaser Sheni, because during the Sheva of Kibush and the Sheva of Chiluk, there was no Chiyuv of Matnot Maaser from the Aretz. And so therefore Maaser Sheni wasn't relevant yet, and that's why it's not mentioned here. Ba'u leShiloh. Once they settled the Mishkan down in Shiloh, which happens at the end of Sefer Yoshua, then Nesra Bamot. At that point in time, Bamot are now restricted, because now there's a central location where to go to worship Hashem, where the Shekhinah is Shora. V'lo yasham tikra, ela beit avanim. And so now, the Mishnah notes that this is exactly the Mishkan that you had in the Midbar. And that is because over here, there was no ceiling to the Mishkan, ela beit avanim. Bilvad, Melamaton. It was on the lower part of the Mishkan. It had a stone structure around it. Vayriot, Melamalan. And then the curtains were above the stone structure. So the foundations and the base layers of the Mishkan and Shiloh were made out of stone. And then the curtains were placed above it. Vayitam, Menucha. And that is the definition of the word Menucha in the Pasuk that says, Ki lo vatem ata ela menucha ve'ela nachala. that you have yet to reach that location, which is called the Menucha and Nachala, which is connected to the Pasuk in Parshat Re'eh, that discusses where you are allowed to bring Korbanot, which is Lo Tasun Kol Asher Anachnu Osim Po Hayom, Ish Kol Asher Benav, Kilovate Marata El Menucha LeNachala, Hashem Eshel Kecha Noten Lach. And then later on, it gives instructions about what you have to do. Vayam Okom Asher Yivchar Hashem Elokechem Po, L'Shaken Shmo, Sham, Shama Taviu Et Kol Asher Anuchim Mitzavetchem. So when there's a central location which Hashem has picked to be the place where his Shurah is Shekhinah, then you have to bring the Korbanot to that location, and you're not allowed to put them anywhere you want. And be careful, don't bring your load wherever you feel like or wherever you want to do it. There's a restriction against Bamot, and there is a requirement to bring it to that central location, all the Korbanot. And that is because kilovat ma'adata el menucha l'nachla. That's why you're allowed to have bamot. But when you reach menucha and when you reach nachla, then bamot are surot. And that's what the Mishnah says here. Shiloh is the definition of the word menucha in the pasuk. And that means that we've reached a point in time when there's isra bamot. Kodshim kodeshim nechlim lifnim and aklaim. And the kodshim kodeshim are eating the atzara. Now again, they're eating inside the curtains. It's not literally the curtains. It's really the wall curtains of the Mishkan Shiloh. Kodshim kalim umayser sheni b'chol haro'eh. Now Ma'aser Sheni kicks in, because at the end of Kibush V'Chiluk, so Ma'aser Sheni is relevant. So then, Kodshim Kalim and Ma'aser Sheni are eaten as long as you have visibility to the Mishkan Shiloh. If you can see Mishkan Shiloh, then you are able to eat Kodshim Kalim in that way. So one of the things that convinced the archaeologists that they had found Mishkan Shiloh in Shiloh, two of the things that convinced them. One is that they found a base structure that was set up in the proportions and the sizes that you would have expected from the Mishkan. And so that Mishkan Shiloh had a base layer. The upper parts you're not going to find because they were Yiriyot, and they didn't have a roof. So because of that, you're not going to find those pieces, but you will find the base layers. And they did find that in the archaeological digs. But one of the more compelling things that they found is all the mountains that are around that area. Shiloh is not the highest point. There are a large number of mountains that surround it that can see the area of Shiloh. On all of those mountaintops that can see that area where they think they found Mishkan Shiloh, have shards of pottery that are there. The shards of pottery are because of what we learned earlier in the Masechta, which is that when you have a Kli Cheres, and you bring it with you, eat Korbanot in the Kli Cheres, you have to break the Kli Cheres after you finish. And so what they found is all the mountains around Shiloh, at the tops of those mountains, there are shards of pottery, of items that were broken, which would then be in concert with what we're saying here, that B'chol HaRoeh, you can eat the Kodshim Kalim, and that's why you're finding these shards of pottery on those mountains all around Shiloh. And it was also important to have Shiloh in a place where there were places around it that could see it in order to allow people to eat the Kodshim Kalim around that area. After the destruction of Shiloh at the time of Eli, Bola Nov V'Gibon. Then they moved to Nov V'Gibon. Now Nov V'Gibon are a Bamat HaTzibur, they're not a Mishkan. First of all, the Aron was not there. We know that the Aron was in Kiryat Yarim, and then it moved to Ir David afterwards. I mean, the Aron wasn't together with the Mizbeach or the central Bama. But we know that the central Bama was in Nov, because when David's running away from Sha'ol and he seeks refuge in Nov Yir HaKohanim, they say that we only have the Lechem HaKodesh that's there to feed David and his troops who are starving, and the Kohanim help out David and give him that food, and that's why Sha'ol gets angry and ends up killing out Nov Yir HaKohanim. After the destruction of Nov Yir HaKohanim by Sha'ol, it moves to Givon, and we find that there's a Bama Tzimor in Givon, in Divrei Yomim, as well as in the time of Shlomo HaMelech, when he goes to bring his Korbanot, and to thank Hashem and speak to Hashem, he goes to Givon to bring his Bamat HaTzibur, and he also, we saw earlier, brings the Mizbeach that was there to the Mikdash. And then the question, what exactly that means, that he brought the Mizbeach from there to the Mikdash. So that's Nov and Givon, those are both Bamot HaTzibur. Since they're Bamot HaTzibur, and not a Mishkan, who Shrua Bamot. Once again, Bamot, individual, Bamot HaYachid, were Mutarim, to be done all around or anywhere you want it to. Kodshei kodeshim nechlim lefnim and aklaim. The inside the curtains are the areas where these bamot tzibur were. There you can eat the kodshei kodeshim. Kodshim kalim bechol are Yisrael. So now they are in all the cities of Israel. It could be bechol makom be Israel, and that is because there is no machane Israel, and there's no central location of avodah, which would then draw you or force you to be in contact with it in order to eat the kodshim kalim. There is a question as to whether here you enter in also the word maser. Rashi does, and then enter the word maser sheni here as well, just like we saw before. Ba'oli Yerushalayim. Once they reach Yerushalayim, that's the building of the Mikdash by Shlomo HaMelech. Nesua Bamot. Then the Bamot become Asurim. Ba'loi Elam Heter. After that point in time, they never become Mutarim again. That becomes a permanent status that Bamot are Asurot. You can no longer bring Bamot after the building of the Mikdash, after Yerushalayim. And that is Vehi Haita Nachala. In the Pasuk, Kilobat Mata Elam Nucha Vela Nachala. The Nachala is Yerushalayim. And the Gemara is going to darshan in a week's time when we get to the end of the Masechta that why does it tell you about Menucha, Shiloh, Nachala, Yerushalayim? That's to tell you that there's Heter Abamot between the two of them. Between Menucha and Nachala, there is Heter Abamot. But during Menucha and Nachala, there isn't. And once you have Nachala, after that point in time, ain't Heter Abamot. There is no Heter Abamot. The question how this relates to Machloket, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish that we saw last week with regards to whether Kedusha Rishon is Kedusha Meshaita or Kedusha Latid Lavo, that's a discussion amongst the Rishonim. As to whether this is only according to the one who says, Rabbi Yochanan who says it's Kedusha Rishona, Kedusha Leshaita, Kedusha Latid Lavo, or is this even according to the opinion that says that it's low Kedusha Latid Lavo, that there might be an Iser Bamot? I mean, that Tosafot over there suggested that there might be an Iser Bamot for the opinion that says it's not Mikudash forever, because the two might be separate. They may not be connected. Even though Kedusha is not permanent to Yerushalayim, the Iser Bamot, once it kicks in, may not be released after that. So it's a question as to whether this is only according to one who says Kedusha Rishona was permanent, or is this even according to one who says Kedusha Rishona was not permanent. Kodshei Kadoshim Nechalim Lifnim Naklaim. Now here the word Klaim is used loosely, curtains, because in the Mikdash it was walls of the Azara, or you have to say like we saw again last week, that when they first came back in Beit Sheni and they were building the Mikdash, they put up curtains in order to build it. So they started out with the Mikdash having curtains, and maybe that's why it's a reference to Klaim. Or otherwise, it's just a more generic term, like by the Mishkan, it was called Klaim for the Chatzir. Here, by the Azara, it's the wall of the Azara. Kodshei Klaim u'maisir shenim lifnim min achuma. They're eating inside the walls of Yerushalayim. Kol ha-kodeshim shikti sham b'shat iser ha-bamot. All kodeshim that were sanctified when there was no permission to bring bamot. B'kivam b'shat iser ha-bamot. And you were makriv them when there was an iser ha-bamot. Mi bachutz, outside, meaning that you did it outside of that area which is designated like Shiloh or the Mikdash in Yerushalayim. Harielu ba'asei, v'lo ta'asei. You're in violation of an asei, a lo ta'asei, v'chayvin alav karet. And you're subject karet. This is halah bachutz. This is your classic case of halah bachutz. What the asei is over here, Rashi claims that the asei is k'meviyum la'ashem, that you're supposed to bring them to Hashem, your korbanot. And the lotase, he brings from Sefer Dvarim, the puzzle that I quoted from you before, which is, he shamer lecha, pentaleo lotecha, b'chom makom asher tir'eh. So he says that's the lotase, and then the karet is the halah b'chutz from Achremot. The Rambam on the other hand says the asay comes from the same sukim in Dvarim, where it says, v'ya makom asher b'char Hashem, lo'kechem l'ashgim l'sham, shama taviyu et kol asher yochim mitzaretchem. There you have to bring all your korbanot. And therefore it derives an isur asay, which is you have to bring it to the makom asher b'char. If you don't bring it there, then you're in violation of the asay. Hikti sham b'shat heter abamot. He sanctified them when it was mutar to bring bamot, or bring them on a bama. V'ikrivam b'shat isur abamot. And then he is makriv them b'shat isur abamot b'chutz, outside. Harielu b'asay v'lo tasay. That is subject to an asay v'lo tasay, but ain't chayvin aleim karet. But it's not subject to the karet. That's from the limud again that we saw last week with regards to the psukim, whereby the psukim and afremot, we said, are divided up into two halves. That is Vayikra Yudzayim, Pasuk Dalid. We said before in the Gemara that there's an Onesh Karet for Shochei Bachut, Shikdisham B'Shat Yisra Abamot, V'Ikivam B'Shat Yisra Abamot. But from Pasuk Hey and onwards, the Gemara said, Mikam Elech B'Zvachim Shikdisham B'Shat Heder Abamot, V'Ikivam B'Shat Yisra Abamot. And then we said that there was a Miut that said that the restriction of Karet, or the Chiyuv of Karet, was only associated with the Hikdisham b'shat yisur b'mot, and Hikrivam b'shat yisur b'mot, not in the case where it was Hikra, Hikdisham b'shat heter b'mot, and Hikrivam b'shat yisur b'mot. That is for the Pasuk Zayin, later on, which is also dealing with a Hikdisham b'shat heter b'mot, Hikrivam b'shat yisur b'mot, says Zot lahem ledorotam. And we learn from that, that Zot lahem vein acheret lahem. That this is the only restriction on them, there's no other restriction, there's no other punishment, and the Chiyuv Karet is not associated with them. And so therefore, the psukim of Hey and Zayin deal with things that are Hikdisham B'Shat Heter Abamot, V'Kivam B'Shat Yisur Abamot. There they have Yisurim. Psukim Dalet and Pasuk Tet, which deal with the Chiyuv of Karet, those Psukim are both dealing with Hikdisham B'Shat Yisur Abamot, V'Kivam B'Shat Yisur Abamot, and that's why there's a Chiyuv Karet associated with them. And that's why in this instance, there is no chiyuv karet. So that's why you're a chayav before the aseh and lotas say, like for the Rambam from Dvarim, according to Rashi, partly from Dvarim, partly from here, but you're not chayav karet. Hikdisham b'shat isur abamot. If he was makdish it when there was an isur abamot, v'ikrivam b'shat heter abamot. And then he was makriv it when there was heter abamot, mibachutz. Harelu b'aseh. That you violate an aseh, v'ein b'hem lotaseh, and there is no lotaseh, because it's a shat heter abamot. You're in violation of an assay, Rashi says, because you let the assay expire. We're supposed to bring them, Vaviyom El Hashem. We're supposed to bring them when you're makdish them to Hashem. And now that that is gone, the Mishkan is gone, and now there's Heter Bamot, you now were mevatel the assay of bringing them before Hashem or bringing them to that location. And so there is a bitul assay, but there's no active violation of a lot assay or karet, because when you're makriv them b'chutz, it's a time of shat Heter Habamot. Ve'elu kodeshim krivim b'mishkan. Which Kodeshim are brought in Mishkan? Bizman Heter Abamot. The question is not when there's a Mishkan in a central location where everything has to be brought there. It's a question when there is a Heter Abamot, what are required to be brought to the Mishkan or the Bamat HaTzibur during that period of time? Kodeshim Shuktushu the Mishkan. Kodeshim that were specified that they were supposed to be brought in the Mishkan. That means even a Korbanot HaYachid, where they specified they want to bring them in the central location or to the Mishkan. Korbanot HaTzibur can only be brought in the Bamat HaTzibur or in the Mishkan. Krevin b'Mishkan. They have to be brought in the Mishkan. B'Korbanot HaYachid, well, Korbanot that belong to an individual, b'Bama. They can be brought on a Bama. Again, as long as they were not specified that they were to be brought in the Mishkan, then the Korbanot HaYachid can be brought on the Bama. Korbanot HaYachid, shuktushu l'Mishkan. Korbanot HaYachid, which they were specified they were going to be brought in the Mishkan, Yakrivu b'mishkan. They must be brought in Mishkan. Ve'im yikrivan b'bama. If you put them on a bama, patur. Then you are patur. Because you are in violation of your neder, but you're not in violation of hakrava b'chutz. Hakrava b'chutz during that period of time is mutar. The bamot are mutarot. The problem is that you violated your neder, which said I was going to bring it to the Mishkan. So you have a violation of a neder, but you don't have a violation of halah b'chutz. Ma ben bamat yachid b'bamat tzibur. What's the difference between a bamat yachid and a bamat tzibur, a central mizbeach, versus the private mizbeach? Smicha, whether you do smicha on the animal, or shchitat safon, whether you have to do it in the north, the shchita of the kodshei kodeshim has to be done in the north, umatan saviv, and whether you have to do the matanot around the mizbeach, meaning the shtayim shein arba that can be seen on all sides, bitnufa, wave offerings, hagasha, touching the item to the mizbeach by the mincha, b'yudomer, ain mincha b'bama. There's no mincha in a bama. It doesn't matter b'mat yachid, b'mat tzibur, and therefore the hagasha is not a distinction between them, because hagasha is something that's done to the mincha. V'kihun. There's no necessity for kuhuna by b'mat yachid. U'bigdei sharet. And there's no requirement for bigdei kuhuna. U'klei sharet. And there's no requirement for utensils. For reyach nichoach. There's no requirement for reyach nichoach. These are the six things, the shem shishat varim, azevach nizbach, that we saw earlier in the Masechta. Adaf memvava medbet, which is it has to be brought the reyach. Reyach means it has to have a nice smell. It means if you already cooked it before you put it on the mizbeach, it doesn't smell like a good barbecue. It's not good. Nicholach, it has to be brought to a place where it is pleasing to Hashem. Umechitza ledamim, there's no chuta sikra to put the dam above or below on the mizbeach. Bechutz yadayim raglaim, there's no requirement for washing one's hands and feet. Aval hazman hanutar vatamei shavin bazelzeh. The period of time where it's kosher to bring a korban. Notar, the period of time which you're allowed to eat a korban. Vatamei. And the fact that you can't eat it when you have tumat haguf, all those apply equally to a bamat yachid and a bamat tzibur. Okay, with that we complete the Mishnah on the top of Kufiyum Gimel and Aleph, and we'll spend the rest of the time in the Perek going through the Mishnah and discussing all those halachot that we just went through in the Mishnah.